Day 75. Before leaving with Tuck, I went down to the Matrix Paddies to say goodbye to Sempha. She said little, but I could see in her eyes that she was sad to see me go. Without premeditation, I blessed her and then kissed her on the forehead. Tuck stood nearby, smiling and bobbing. Then we were off, leading the two packbrids. Supervisor Orlandi came to the end of the road and waved as we entered the narrow lane hacked into the aureate foliage. Domine, dirige nos. Day 82. After a week on the trail. What trail? After a week in the trackless yellow rainforest. After a week of exhausting climb up the ever-steeper shoulder of the Pinyon Plateau, we emerged this morning onto a rocky outcropping that allowed us a view back across an expanse of jungle toward the beak in the Middle Sea. The plateau here is almost 3,000 meters above sea level, and the view was impressive. Heavy rain clouds spread out below us to the foot of the Pinyon Hills, but through gaps in the white and gray carpet of cloud, we caught glimpses of the Khans, in its leisurely uncoiling toward Port R, and the sea, chrome-yellow swatches of the forest we had struggled through, and a hint of magenta far to the east, the Tuck swore was a lower matrix of fiber-plastic fields near Paracebo. We continued onward and upward late into the evening. Tuck is obviously worried that we will be caught in the flame forests when the Tesla trees become active. I struggled to keep up, tugging at the heavily laden brid and saying silent prayers to keep my mind off my aches, pains, and general misgivings. Day 83. Loaded and moving before dawn today. The air smells of smoke and ashes. The change in vegetation here on the plateau is startling. No longer evident are the ubiquitous werewood and leafy chalma. After passing through an intermediate zone of short evergreens and everblues, then after climbing again through dense strands of mutated lodgepole pines and triaspen, we came into the flame forest proper, with its groves of tall Prometheus, trailers of ever-present phoenix, and round stands of amber lambents. Occasionally, we encountered impenetrable breaks of the white fibrous, bifurcated bestos plants that Tuck picturesquely referred to as looking like the rotting cocks of some dead giants, what be buried shallow here, that be sure. My guide has a way with words. It was late afternoon before we saw our first Tesla tree. For half an hour we had been trudging over an ash-covered forest floor, trying not to tread on the tender shoots of phoenix and firewhip, gamely pushing up through the sooty soil, when suddenly Tuck stopped and pointed. The Tesla tree, still half a kilometer away, stood at least 100 meters tall, half again as high as the tallest Prometheus. Near its crown it bulged with the distinctive onion-shaped dome of its accumulator gall. The radial branches above the gall trailed dozens of nimbus vines, each looking silver and metallic against the clear green and lapis sky. The whole thing made me think of some elegant, high Muslim mosque on New Mecca, irreverently garlanded with tinsel. "We got to get the brids and our asses the hell out of here," grunted Tuck. He insisted that we change into flame forest gear right then and there. We spent the rest of the afternoon and evening trudging on in our osmosis masks and thick, rubber-soled boots, sweating under layers of leathery gamma cloth. Both of the brids acted nervous, their long ears pricking at the slightest sound. Even through my mask I could smell the ozone. It reminded me of electric trains I had played with as a child on lazy Christmas Day afternoons in Villefranche-sur-Saône. We are camping as close as we can to a bestos break this night. Tuck showed me how to set out the ring of arrestor rods, all the time clucking dire warnings to himself and searching the evening sky for clouds. I plan to sleep well in spite of everything. Day 84. Oh, 400 hours. Sweet Mother of Christ. For 3 hours we have been caught up in the middle of the end of the world. The explosion started shortly after midnight, mere lightning crashes at first, and against our better judgment, Tuck and I slid our heads through the tent flap to watch the pyrotechnics. I am used to the Matthew month monsoon storms on Pacham, so the first hour of lightning displays did not seem too unusual. Only the sight of distant Tesla trees as the unerring focus of the aerial discharge was a bit unnerving. But soon the forest behemoths were glowing and spitting with their own accumulated energy, and then, just as I was drifting off to sleep despite the continued noise, true Armageddon was unleashed. At least 100 arcs of electricity must have been released in the first 10 seconds of the Tesla tree's opening spasms of violent energy. A Prometheus, less than 30 meters from us, exploded, dropping flaming brands 50 meters to the forest floor. The arrestor rods glowed, hissed, and deflected arc after arc of blue-white death over and around our small campsite. Tuck screamed something, but no mere human sound was audible over the onslaught of light and noise. A patch of trailing phoenix burst into flame near the tethered brids, and one of the terrified animals, hobbled and blindfolded as it was, broke free and lunged through the circle of glowing arrestor rods. Instantly, 6 bolts of lightning from the nearest Tesla arced to the hapless animal. For a mad second, I could have sworn I saw the beast's skeleton glowing through boiling flesh, and then it spasmed high into the air and simply ceased to be. For 3 hours we have watched the end of the world. 2 of the arrestor rods have fallen, but the other 8 continue to function. Tuck and I huddle in the hot cave of our tent, osmosis masks filtering enough cool oxygen out of the superheated, smoky air to allow us to breathe. Only the lack of undergrowth and Tuck's skill in placing our tent away from other targets and near the sheltering Vestos plants have allowed us to survive. That, and the 8 whiskered alloy rods that stand between us and eternity. They seem to be holding up well, I shout to Tuck over the hiss and crackle, crash and split of the storm. Dey be made to stand a hour, maybe 2, grunts my guide. Any time, maybe sooner, dey fuse, we die. I nod and sip at lukewarm water through the slipstrip of my osmosis mask. If I survive this night, I shall always thank God for his generosity in allowing me to see this sight.